You're listening to the Cultural Curriculum Chat, the podcast that specializes in multicultural education and classroom strategies. I'm your host, Jebba Edmonds. Let's get started. Hello, everyone. This is Jebba Edmonds, and welcome back to the Cultural Curriculum Chat podcast. I am just so excited. I have a wonderful teacher who shares her bright light with her students and infuses inclusion and multicultural educational practices that we can learn from every day. So welcome, Tiffany White. And I'm just going to share real quick with about Tiffany. Tiffany White is an author, an elementary special education teacher, business owner, and mother of two young adults who resides in Atlanta, Georgia. Tiffany is originally from Brooklyn, New York. She is passionate about spreading joy and positivity in her classroom. Tiffany created her brand, D'Avion Bleu Innovations, to empower and motivate fellow educators as they cultivate young minds. Tiffany's motto is, do what makes you happy, create joy for yourself. When you find that, keep going and don't stop. In 2014, Tiffany started her Teachers Wear Yellow on Monday campaign. This initiative promotes joy and positivity among educators by having them wear something yellow every Monday of the school year. And I'm just so honored to have you in the guest chair, Tiffany. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you for having me here.
Oh, thank you. I just have been a big fan of your work. You've got a wonderful book out called Nicole and the Fifth Grade Desk. I can't wait to order it. And you have lots of strategies for educators, your t-shirts. I mean, everything you just embody is inspiration that just keeps us going, especially in this work. And can you share with our audience, Tiffany, what is your story? I know you're from BK, but what else, you know? Oh, that helps us learn more about you and your work.
Okay, my name is Tiffany. I am an educator, a mom, sister, aunt, all of those things. And my story is that I've always wanted to be an educator. Growing up, I always wanted to be an educator. That was my lifelong dream, and I accomplished it, right? My story is I have two children, two young adults, as you said, and I just love bringing joy and positivity to everyone that I meet. It's important for me for someone to feel something when they meet me or for me to feel something when I meet them, especially the young adults and the young children that I work with every day.
What did you observe, you know, in your formative years before you became a mother and an educator? Was there something missing that you wish you had in education that reflected you?
So here's the thing. There was nothing missing in education that I didn't have that didn't reflect me. So I went to school in Brooklyn, New York, very diverse community, right? And all of my teachers looked like me, sound like me. They were of West Indian background. I went to a seven-day Adventist elementary school from pre-K to eighth grade. So every educator that I had looked like me. Right. Until I went to high school. And when I went to high school, I had educators of different backgrounds. So my educational years were wonderful. The teachers were of Caribbean descent. So one thing they would say is, listen, your mother already told me what to do with you when you act up. So I already knew that. So it was like a real community, you know. Yeah. So I loved my elementary years. I loved my high school years. Because they really embody the culture.
Oh, that's amazing. And like you said, too, your educators around were a part of your community as a whole. And I feel like a lot of us educators need that parental support and backing, and that your teacher said, yeah, we have your parents backing, so don't try it.
Like, they, you know, they warned me often of that.
Yes. And it's with love, too, you know, to say, if anything, everyone is surrounding you and we've got you. And yeah, I just love that. I love that story. That's very positive. As a parent, what experiences have you embodied yourself and reflected as a parent and as an educator with your students now?
I was a young adult parent, right? My daughter's 24. So that just tells you I was a young adult parent. Mm-hmm. So as a young adult parent, I had to navigate through a lot of stereotypes, and I had to navigate through what I wanted to do with my life and how I can accomplish those things. And I really had to take a step back and look at my environment and look at the people around me and look at what were they doing that I didn't do or that I can do, you know? And a lot of the times, I teach fifth grade, but a lot of the times I have to tell my students just a little bit about my story. I have to tell them that, you know, I am an educator, but, you know, sometimes you do not make mistakes, but sometimes you do take learning curves. And even though you have those curves, you can still accomplish the things that you want to do. I did, you know, I had learning curves being a young mother, first year college student. I had a lot of learning curves, but I still was able to persevere and still make my accomplishments, my greatest accomplishments, you know, and I am super proud of myself for that.
Yes, that's amazing, Tiffany. And I love how you reframed that mistakes. There's a lot of shame behind the word mistake, but how you say learning curve. And as educators, we're constantly lifelong learners. When you said fifth grade, I mean, you already have my fifth grade teacher heart because I taught fifth grade too. It's like, oh, we would have been awesome teammates.
You know? I love teaching fifth grade. I've taught kindergarten. I've taught first grade, second grade, third grade. I taught high school 1 year, but it's something about teaching fifth grade that just lights me up. I love
it. Yes. Oh, I mean, and thank you so much. Yeah, because those fifth graders, they need to know, especially getting over that transitional period to junior high, middle school. It's like, oh, you're going to have a lot of learning curves, but don't let that deter you from your ultimate hopes and dreams, you know? And I really like that. Another thing I found on your platform that was really affirming is your affirmation cards on your mirrors. And how the words, you know, I'm drippy, I'm popping, like those are like fifth grade young people talk, and that they can see themselves, you know, and stand up a little taller, sit up a little taller. The materials and the content that you're sharing with a lot of us teachers is such a gift because a lot of us educators are thinking, okay, what can we do, especially halfway through the school year? How do we boost morale? And you have things that are quick and easy to do, and you can do it in a minute to get things ready and going for your students. Is there anything else that you can suggest to us teachers that is specific to multicultural education and inclusion practices that they could use?
So I'm going to suggest very simple things. So I love music. Music is like my heart and my soul. And I feel like music always bridges everybody together. You know, if you're having a down day, a happy day, you put on a song and everybody kind of like gets into the groove of music. And you can always incorporate any kind of cultural music and people would love it. Music brings joy. Music brings sadness. Music brings happiness. But I love incorporating music into my daily work. Every morning, I'm listening to music in the car, whether it's rap music, soca music, reggae music, trap music, whatever. And then when I come to school, I'm doing the same thing too. I'm on in the hallway. So I have hallway duty. So I make sure that I'm playing music, I'm singing music. I can't sing, but the kids tell me every day that I'm a great singer, but I'm not.
I love that. I love it.
So I try to encompass everything music. And at my school, it's not diverse in culture. When I play music, I make sure that I play a diversity of music, like, you know, because I want to always bring in my culture into anything I do.
Oh, I love that. And you said music just brings that energy and it keeps kids engaged. And, you know, I'm from Liberia originally, and I emigrated to Minnesota with my parents. And even like doing, you know, some Afro beats during brain breaks and things like that to keep them going. And then we're journaling and there's a Mandarin flute in the background or some Celtic music in between snacks. You're right. It's a great transitional period of starting your day, keeping things going. I just love that. And yeah, you sing better than me. I've seen you post some things. So To me, that's what I'm like. You are singing at the top of your lungs some good 90s hits. And I can just imagine your students, you know, like, oh man, here we go. But that's the thing. I feel like as an educator, you really want to hook your students in. You kind of have to go all out, you know, to really have them remember you and how you make them feel at the end of the day. Like,
yeah, because it's all about relationships and how you make, you know, I read something the other day that said that education is not centered. It has to be relationship centered. And yes. I was like, wow, that's important because relationships with your students is how you kind of navigate how they're doing, what they're doing, and what they're going to do for you.
Yes. You know? Oh, and they show you their best when you give them that safe space and that, you know, that feeling of, oh yeah, let's try it. So yeah, sometimes I'll do the Tootsie Roll in between handwriting way back in the day, but those are the things you have to try. And I just know even my students that are adults now come back and go, oh, we used to do the birthday dance. It's like, yeah, things yeah. like that, you know, that relationship piece. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yes. You have talked about music. You've talked about, you know, learning curves. Let's share more about your work as an author. I love books and I can't wait to read your book. I just ordered it, so I can't wait to read it and put it on my YouTube to go, yes, I know her.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Nicole and the Fifth Grade Desk was inspired by my students and my niece. Right. So my niece had the hardest time with school and my students, I feel like that transition from fifth grade to sixth grade can be a very tiresome one. So I came up with a desk that talks to them and the desk is going to tell them about the first day and tell them all about the great things that we do in fifth grade and tell them all about the great things that your teachers are going to be and how you're going to feel. And then it does have some educational background because we talk about figurative language. I try to add some standard and some content in there, figurative language. And the most important part is that desks don't speak, right? They don't talk, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. to have a desk talk is the epitome of figurative language, right? So it's just an all-around great book about a student that looked like me having a conversation with a desk and a teacher that looks like her. So I loved writing Nicole in the Fifth Grade Desk. It just came to me one. I've been thinking about it for a long time, but I was like, nah. And then I was like, you know what, Tiffany? This is a great story, and I think everyone needs to read it. You know, despite that it says fifth grade, it can go for any grade level because students are always scared in the beginning of the school year, in middle of the school year, ending the school year. Because I had a student start last week, Monday. The first day of school, of my school. So, you know, you can always read Nicole in the Fifth Grade Desk.
Oh, I'm so excited. And trust me, I can't wait to share it out. And I will definitely send the information of where you can order Tiffany's Nicole in the Fifth Grade Desk. I just love it how you're saying we're seniors of the building, you know, like, yeah.
Yes, sit a little taller. Of the building.
I just love that. And you're right. Every grade level in elementary school, high school, middle school, there's always that new kid that comes in. It's uneasy. Even if you're all new on the first day, we all have those jitters of what to expect and what to do. And I can't wait to share this book with the audience. And any other things before we wrap up, Tiffany? It's just been so nice to speak with you and hang out with another fellow educator this morning. And anything else?
Another fifth grade fellow educator. Yes. Just so thankful. This journey has been an amazing journey and it didn't start out that way. The reason why I started this journey is because I was down about teaching and I felt like I wasn't appreciated or I felt like I was being picked on and I wanted something to motivate me. And this journey motivated me. And in fact, it motivated me to motivate other people. Right. So that's why I always try to make sure that I'm positive, upbeat, because I want to motivate educators because our job is very tiresome. Yes. Sometimes it can be helpless, selfless. Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure I motivate us all to appreciate and love the things that we do.
Oh, and you are Miss Queen Motivator. I tell you, I look forward to every Monday going, okay, I love that shirt. Oh, I like that one. Okay, I got to just be brave one of these days and tag you.
Go ahead, just do it.
Let's do it. Yes. Oh, thank you so much, Tiffany. I really appreciate you on our show. And yes, cultural curriculum chat friends, I will send all of Tiffany's information of how you can follow her and purchase her book and all of her amazing brand of D'Avion Blue innovations and to keep us motivated because yes, we're halfway through the school year. All right. Thanks again.
Thanks for listening to Cultural Curriculum Chat with Jebba Edmonds. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast. We will be here same time, same place next week. Take care. Bye-bye.